Greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May His grace and may His peace be with you and be with each one of us. This morning for a message, I felt led to not look at the pastoral epistles this time, but another message that has been on my heart for some time already. I was asked to share a short version of this last fall at another congregation. So if you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We're going to be reading verses 11 through 27. And the title of our message is simply this: Occupy Till I Come. Now let's begin reading in Luke 19 in verse 11. Last Sunday morning, one of the brethren shared about the account of Zacchaeus. That's a very beautiful account, which we have just prior to this. Then in verse 10, he says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And then we have another parable here. Again, reading in verse 11. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and he said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." Now this is a familiar parable. I think we've heard it many times. And I trust the Lord will bless the reading of His Word and the preaching of His Word in such a way that He can be glorified and we can recognize our calling today is to occupy till Jesus comes, till He returns. Now, with this, we're not talking about a work salvation, but we're talking about a salvation that continues after we believe and have accepted the plan of salvation and the atonement for our sins, and we're in right standing with God. And so I believe this message can be a blessing to us if the Holy Spirit will continue to direct us. And as we think of our message, Occupy Till I Come, I believe it is a message from Jesus Himself to the church and to His disciples here. Like I mentioned maybe several months ago, that life is like a book. Well, recently I discovered I'm entering another chapter in my life, at least as far as society is concerned. Well, here I am nearing the age of 65, and which society considers the retirement age. I wasn't quite prepared for, with the reality of modern technology, how many people would be calling me because I'm beginning to turn when I'll be turning 65, and I'll be retirement age as far as society is concerned. Just yesterday, I had a lady call me rather early in the morning, and she told me that she understands that I'll be turning 65 here shortly, and she wanted to know if I have any evidence of maybe some birthday celebrations because I'm 65 are being prepared behind my back. I said I'm not really aware of it. And then she began to ask me some more questions. You know, if I'm ready to retire and so forth, and am I planning on it? And I said, no, ma'am, I'm planning on keeping on working. And she said, well, that's wonderful that you have good health and that you can keep working. And then she said, well, what about some of these, you know, medical bills and things that will be coming up, and ask if she could be of some help to that? And I said, well, I'm thankful that we have a brotherhood. It's not an insurance plan, but we have a sharing plan. And we like to assist each other and share together. Well, it wasn't long until she decided that maybe speaking to me is a waste of her time. And so she kindly, we said goodbye, and that was over with. But when I got in my mail, I found another invitation, a free meal over in Charlottesville, an opportunity to again sit together and learn about how to do in my retirement. Then I found another yet big packet all yesterday from another company with a whole bunch of pages to fill out. And if I fill all these out and then we have our meeting, it will be a lot easier to talk about my retirement and how we go all about this. And if you think that's all the mail and phone calls that I've received because of coming to retirement age, well, you're wrong. It seems like every week for I don't know how long already, somehow because of this modern technology, they know that on May the 19th, I'll turn 65. And so they're very concerned that I'll enjoy my retirement and that I will be able to sit back and do what I want to. Then to make it even more, if I may say, and I want to tell you that about all these things go into file 13. Now, I don't know if young people know what file 13 is not, but it's just another word for trash can. But there's also another website that someone told me about, and I can't go on the internet, so I got someone else to pull it up. And I was floored, and I was struck. I wonder, you know, what's going on in our world today? And let's bring it back a step further. In our church, when I say in our constituency, what's going on? And when you turn on this website, here is a man and his wife and his children. Oh, yes, they're playing. And they get on and they begin to introduce you to something that helps, that you can do what you want. And he says, you owe it to yourself. Somehow it doesn't sound very biblical to me. They would owe it to ourselves to go on vacations and live it up. And he further shows his family out along the water and out in the mountains and all other things. And he goes on to proceed that we owe it to ourselves and how we can get all this if we do the right thing and get involved in the right program. And this program has been tested for 6 years and it really works. And he's very involved in it. But I never heard anything on that about the will of God, about serving the Lord more diligently and having more time to serve him. It was more about having time to do what I want to do and what I deserve. Well, I'd like to say this morning that when I think of my past life living outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't deserve all the blessings of God and of salvation, but I praise him for it, and I trust that you praise him for it, and your desire is to live for Jesus Christ, and not just for self. I'm not saying it's wrong to go on a vacation. I like to go on vacations myself. But I believe this morning what is important is that we live the life for Jesus Christ and that we recognize that Jesus has this parable here for a purpose. The other evening I tried to call a brother in another community and he wasn't home. Later that evening this brother called me back And I don't think he knew that I had called him, but he knew that I was supposed to call him. And so I said, well, I had tried to call you earlier. And he said, we're having revival meetings right now. And he said, I said, who is your speaker? And he said, Little Eli. He said, Little Eli, he hasn't been here for, I'd never heard him identified as that, hasn't been here for 21 years. And he's here preaching our revival meetings. And I said, he's not as young as he used to be. Yes, but he can still preach. And then so this morning I proceeded to find out in a book that I have there how long he's been preaching. And Little Eli has been preaching for 46 years. Well, I was blessed with that. And I believe that's what I needed again, another shot in the arm to remind us that we are to occupy until Jesus comes again. That's our calling. That's our privilege as children of God. And sometimes I am concerned that, I'm just going to speak frankly and honest this morning, that as Sunday evening committees sometimes they sit together and they say, you know, do we want to have a service when we go to Craigsville? Well, our motive is so more people can go to Craigsville. But we discover that sometimes, we reason in ourselves, oh, if we don't have service, this is a wonderful time to get together with our family, our friends, invite people in and do interesting things. We'll let the others go to Craigsville. But sometimes not many go. Now, Brother Elmer was nice enough to go back there and get a piece of paper and lay it there on the counter. And I'm telling you this morning by the word of God that the Bible tells us, occupy till I come. That's an opportunity to occupy. And in our course practice, you know, we have to sign up anymore. I thought it used to be that was a youth activity, which is an activity of the church. So we simply get together and we sing and lift our voices in praise and gratitude to God. And our jingle services, you know, and sometimes they call and they say, we tried these people, we tried those people, and Stuart Strathholm and all that. We have them all, we have both of those today, you know. Did you volunteer? I even volunteered somebody else today. Maybe that's not the way to do it, but they did thank me for it. All right, as I look at this scripture, let's turn to it. I believe little Eli is occupying until his master returns. Now going back to Luke chapter 19, this portion of scripture was written just prior to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection and ascension. And I will say this, I really hadn't planned on bringing these things in about jail services and Craigsville and those things. But as these needs were shared, somehow I felt the Lord wanted me to share it. All right, as we look at this scripture in Luke 19, in verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And I believe this certain nobleman here is Jesus Christ. And he left the glories of heaven. He suffered and died and left the glories of heaven and ascended and left the glories of heaven, came down this earth, gave his life for us, shed his blood so that we can be saved. And then he ascended into heaven. And he's in heaven interceding for us. But he's going to return again. Just like this nobleman did here. And it says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. How is it this morning with you? I trust you are not saying, I don't want to have Jesus Christ reign in my life or to reign over me. But I trust that you have received him as Lord and Savior. And that you appreciate that he's in heaven interceding for you and I. I praise God for that comfort and for knowing that and believing that. That he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he's interceding for us. Then he says, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now, I don't understand all the reward system that Jesus is speaking about here. But it seems like he's saying that he's giving each one of these a pound. Now, in several other places, they were given different amounts. But in this, it seems like they all received 1 pound. And the one servant, he used his pound and he gained 10 pounds. And another one gained 5 pounds. Now, it says here that in verse 17, and he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou art faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. He names him a good servant. And then verse 18, it says, and the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And it doesn't say that he called him good servant. And maybe he did, I don't know. But that's all in the hands of God. But we do have this message where it says, you know, occupy till I come. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. To take this pound, this that he gives us, and to occupy until he returns again. May God help us to do that. He gave his servants a certain sum which they were to make good use of during his absence. His charge was, occupy till I come. You know, in the time, as we think of the time of the nobleman's absence, I believe it is our life. I believe that's what the parable is talking about. The time of our life, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior until he returns again, or until life ends. And I'd like to say to all of us here this morning, all of us are living in the opportunity of time. And we are responsible to God what we do with our time, how we take care of our time, and what kind of life we live. This is our opportunity, time. And, you know, the time of the noble's absence, whether it be long or short, our present life is a period during which we have to be preparing for another. And I like the way one writer in the pulpit commentary made this. He said, to treat this life, that's not what I wanted, but he says, this opportunity is compounded, or still not what I wanted here, but anyhow, it brings out the point. Maybe if I read all of this, I'll find it. The pound talent represents the opportunity of service to which he places in our reach. This opportunity is compounded, number one, our natural capacity, bodily, mentally, spiritually, and of two, all the favorable circumstances by which we are attended as we pass through our life. Education, home influence, capital, facilities for entering a sphere of activity, and this sacred opportunity looks out in three directions: the cultivation of our own nature, the service of mankind, the worship of God, and work in his broad field. The Lord of our life is saying to us, occupy till I come. And that's still not what I wanted to read. But I believe it's important. This is in harmony with our experience. For one part of our life is a preparation of another. And the nature of the succeeding period depends upon the character of that which precedes it. And I like this, where it simply says this: childhood leads up to youth, and youth leads up to young manhood, and then young manhood leads on to senior. It's time in life. And so I'd like to just encourage us this morning and challenge you as young people and children that you recognize the blessed privilege you have of hearing the gospel preached, of studying the Word of God in school and in Sunday school, and having your parents teach the spiritual things of life and the importance of it. And may I say, parents, also be a living example of receiving the pound, of receiving the eternal life, and then living it out in our daily walk of life. You know, are our children convinced that the spiritual things of life are important to us by the way we live and the way we teach? And then again, as you leave the time of childhood and you become, and you make a commitment to God, and you become a part of the church and the youth group, what a tremendous blessing that can be in your life as you continue to grow with your walk with the Lord in receiving your pound and putting your pound to work and living out the Christian life. What a blessing. And then I'd like to say, we have a number of young married couples. You are blessed. You are appreciated in the church. And it's an opportunity for you to live your life, raise your children, teach them the things of God, and be a living example in the world which we live today. And that's for all of us. Brother Jerry said this morning, if we are comfortable in this world which we live in our Sunday school class, then there's something wrong. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. If we are comfortable in this world, in this life which we live, and I wonder sometimes in some of the liberty that we're beginning to experience in our churches and the places we're beginning to go, I wonder, where is our relationship with Jesus Christ? Where is our conscience? Where is our conviction? What is it based on? And I invite you to turn to your Bible and read the Word of God and the things that God has for us, and claim them for our life and live it by the grace and the mercy of God. So this morning, we only have one life, and it's how we live it that is important. God has blessed us with life. We have it this morning. We're here because we have life. And I trust you're a child of God. You're here because you have life. Then you have life abundantly in Jesus Christ. This morning, what are we doing with our life? And this is not only a question for you. It's a question for me. It's a searching question. And, you know, I'd like to slow down. But I'd like to say, as some administrative responsibilities are concerned, but the challenge to me is that I keep on preaching the gospel, because if that's what the Lord wants me to do, and that I'm faithful in that pound which He has given me, that it might bring honor and glory to Him. All right, as we think of Jesus when He left His disciples, He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In another place He says, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter to you. And I think we praise God for that Comforter. And you know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, He promised them a Comforter. And they gathered there and they waited until the day of Pentecost. You know, when His servants were gathered together there in the upper room, and the pound, or the gift of the Holy Spirit, was delivered to them. Then in Acts 2 verse 3 it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Each one received his or her pound with which they were to do business for him until he comes. Our calling is to occupy our bodies are the temple of the living God. Our bodies are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and we are to live for Him. Our calling is to occupy in Christ's name, living and acting in the power of the Holy Spirit. May God move us to Himself, that we might be faithful in our calling. You know, I've been blessed in the elderly saints and their desire to occupy for the Lord and continue. Sometimes, you know, they get a little, they get a little lonely and they begin to complain. They're not able, because of their physical limitations, They're not able to work like they used to and do things, and they feel useless. But I'd like to tell you, when I see an older person, if they're in bed, if they're in a wheelchair, whatever, and they have a testimony for the Lord, and they're faithful, that's beautiful to me. And I believe that's occupying till He comes. Some of you maybe heard me share this, and Brother Eli passed on at the cemetery there. But I was so blessed. We'd go there sometimes, he'd be discouraged. But sometimes when we did a little something for him, I took some food over, or whatever, and his speech was the way it was. But he would always be appreciative. When I'd go out the door, he'd say, "Thank you, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you." I believe that was his occupying until Jesus comes. I believe that with all my heart. And there are many other ways that we can be occupying until Jesus comes. And you know, we can say, I'll be praying for you. I can do this and I can do that. Last evening, some time ago, I have this whole pile of little books that I've been carrying since 72, and I keep things in there. And recently I was looking for some dates, and I came across little notes that I had written in there, some little revelation or something that and I should put them somewhere where I can just look at them. But I thought of one, and I went through a whole bunch of them again last night, but I couldn't find what I wanted. But I found some sweet little notes from children. And you know, it was just such a blessing and such encouragement to me to know that they were listening. And they took time and wrote down a little piece of paper. And one of those is sitting here this morning in the audience as a visitor. And I was just blessed as I looked over those things and numerous other little things. And these are all, I believe, part of our occupying till Jesus comes. Parents, I believe you can be a tremendous contribution to your children in encouraging them to do these little notes for elderly and for others in the work of the Lord. And what a tremendous blessing it is. Someone has said this. I found this in my little book. In the long run, it's not the years in our life that count, but it's the life in our years. Isn't that something? It's not, in the long run, it's not the years in our life that count, but the life in our years. And this morning, we have opportunity to have that life in our years and to live that life which is pleasing to the Lord. I came across another little one. It says that I had written down the song, "I Owe the Lord a Morning Song." And all I had written down was, it was written by a Mennonite minister when the snow was too deep to go to church. That's interesting. Then he penned the words of that song, which we have in our book, in page 200, I think it is, in the church hymnal. But he simply, "I owe the Lord a morning song." And here the snow was too deep to go to church to worship the Lord. But he must have took that time to have a relationship with God and to feed his soul upon the things of God. And God blessed him with a pound. And we still have that in our hymn books today. You think that's beautiful? I do. And there's many of these songs that were written. Another one that I thought of was "Work for the Night is Coming." And I said, well, I wonder if there's not some little word out there about that song. And I have this devotional book that has one song in it every day as kind of a devotional and shares a few other things. So the verse that goes along with this was written by Annie Coghill. She lived from 1836 to 1907. The verse that she used was John 9, verse 4. "As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work." John 9:4. "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for the powers equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be a miracle. Philip Brooks said that. Diligence is a law of life. We are to put forth our best effort into whatever work God gives us to do. For the Christian, every occupation is sacred when it is done for God's glory. What counts in God's sight is not only the actual work we do, but the attitude with which we do it. The story is told of three men who worked on a large church building, all doing similar tasks. When asked what they were doing, one replied, "I'm making mortar." Another, "I'm helping put up this great stone wall." The third one responded, "I'm building a cathedral for God's glory." The right attitude makes all the difference. What a beautiful. This hymn, which emphasizes the joy and dignity of work, especially Christian service, was written in 1854 by an 18-year-old Canadian girl known then as Annie Louise Walker. Annie married a wealthy merchant, Harry Coghill, in 1883. Her poem was first published in the Canadian newspaper and later in her own book, Leaves from the Backwoods. Mrs. Coghill eventually attained prominence as a poet and author, producing several volumes which enjoyed wide circulation. Philosophers and writers have made many profound statements about the intrinsic value of labor, but none has been able to state more simply and meaningful the joy of being co-workers with God in worthy labor than has Annie Louise Coghill in this hymn text. Work for the night is coming, work through the morning hours, work while the dew is sparkling, work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter, work in the glowing sun, work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Work for the night is coming, work through the sunny noon, fill brightest hours with labor, rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man works no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset skies. While their bright tints are glowing, work for daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening when man's work is o'er. John Wesley once said, "Never be unemployed and never be triflingly employed." I think that's a good statement. See your work as a sacred trust from God. Use this musical reminder. I think that's a beautiful reminder of the work, of the importance of working, for the night is coming. You know, Brother Irvin Hershberger, many of us knew him. I think he was 92 years old when Sister Ida passed on. He was here for the funeral. And I just remember Irvin, I saw him here, and first thing I knew, he came over in the car where I was at, and he met me. And several other people had the same experience. They didn't get to Irvin, but Brother Irvin got to them. And I think it was only 48 hours later, whatever it was, he was at home in their church in the evening, and the young people were cleaning the church. And Brother Irvin was operating a vacuum cleaner. He was working until the last moment, and he had a heart attack and passed on. He was working until the last moment. He didn't know what retirement was all about. He was working for the Lord, even if it was pushing a vacuum cleaner in the presence of the young people. What a beautiful way to leave this life. I hope you bear with me if you think I'm critical. But when I was at Calvary Bible School, probably the first time I was there for meetings in about 1977. And there was a young boy there from a nearby state. And he would search me out. It seemed like every opportunity he had. And he would start talking with me. And I could tell that he needed a friend. He needed someone to talk to. Well, in checking it out, I discovered that his father had left home. And he was a hurting young man. His home life was not what God intended for it to be. And so I was talking with another brother there, and this brother was a little bit, he was just a little, I'm not sure how to say this, but he was burdened. He was concerned. And he said, yes. And he said, that young boy's grandfather, who is a bishop in his congregation, he said he should be at home being a father to that young man. But he said he goes to Florida and spends the winter down there. And somehow my heart was touched. My heart was bleeding for that young man. And I just thought about it the last day or two. I wonder where he's at, where that young man is at. I had another experience probably about 20-some years ago. I was in a certain community for some church work, and on Monday we were to leave for the minister's meeting in another state. And the brother that morning said, he said, I'm going down to the hardware store a little bit. He said, would you like to ride along? Well, hardware stores is something I enjoy, going in and just wandering around and seeing what they have, especially old ones. Maybe that's not occupying. But I will tell you this. I was occupying that day, and I was blessed. I was over to a side there looking at things, and all of a sudden I heard a conversation going on with the other side of the hardware store. And it was the brother that had brought me with another man whom I did not know. But this man was rather excited. And I decided, this is a public building, I'm going to get a little closer where I can hear what's going on. So I got over there, and he was talking to this ministering brother, and he said, your dad, he said, has financial means, and your dad has a large family. I think he had 11 children, and they were all in the church at that time. And he said, your dad has financial means where he could go to Florida during the winter and enjoy himself and live it up. But he said, your dad chooses to stay at home and weather the winter and be an example to his children and grandchildren. And I'll tell you, I was blessed. I'm not saying it's sin to go to Florida, but I'm telling you, the Bible says, occupy till I come. And I'm not saying you can't occupy in Florida, but you can do a lot of other things in Florida that take you away from occupying for the Lord. Now, Uncle Ben, a lot of us remember him. He went to Florida winter after winter. But I remember on several occasions he'd come to me, he would cry. And he says, I really don't want to go to Florida. But he said, the doctor tells me for my health's sake, I need to go. I don't think Uncle Ben ever touched a shuffleboard and a host of other things. But he did volunteer to a nursing home to trim their shrubs and take care of their flowers. And he spent a lot of time visiting. I remember back in 75, I think it was, my wife and I, you as a church sent us to Belize in El Salvador. We spent the weekend in Florida. And we weren't at Uncle Ben's very long, and he said, let's go visiting. Well, I came to vacation in Florida and kind of enjoy myself a little bit. And he wanted to go visit. Well, reluctantly, we followed him down the street into this home. And we went in, and this lady was laying on her bed there. And her husband proceeded to tell me that she's been laying there for 36 years. And you know what she said? You wouldn't have had to tell him that. When I left that home, I left in shame. And yet, my heart was touched. I should have been there giving her encouragement, but I went with it. I left there with it, I should say. Brethren, this morning, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of opportunity. What are we doing with it? I'd like to, I was going to look at some more of these verses here, but I believe the message is clear. The nobleman has left. He's gone to seek his kingdom and to come back. And he's left us with a pound. He's left us with a pound. He's left us with many opportunities. And it's all about serving him. It's all about being ready when he returns again. And you know, it's all about coming back and taking us not to Sarasota, Florida, but to eternal bliss in heaven. To that eternal reward which we do not deserve, but which we receive through the nobleman. Then he blesses us with a pound and he says, occupy till I come. This morning, are you occupying with the reality that the nobleman is going to return? Really makes no difference when he returns. But it makes a difference where we are in life when he does return. Not what age we are, but what our relationship is. And what we've done with our pound. You know, this man, this servant, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound, I like that. Thy pound. It's the Lord's. The gifts, talents, and abilities that he gives us are not our own. They're a gift from God. And that's such a beautiful, back in the Old Testament, when they built the temple and they brought in all these offerings, and finally they had to stop the people from giving. They gave so liberally. But their response was, we gave that which you gave us. And that's all God is asking of us. May we recognize that we are a blessed people as people of God. And may we live such lives that honor and glorify him. Another song that came to my memory that blessed me is... Turn to me to in your Christian hymnal, 492. I didn't even really look over this whole hymn here, but Shirley helped me find it. But just a few lines, a few words, a few phrases of this hymn just blessed me. Precious promise. Precious promise God hath given to the weary passerby on the way from earth to heaven. I will guide thee with mine eye. When temptations almost win thee and thy trusted watchers fly, let this promise ring within thee. I will guide thee with mine eye. When thy secret hopes have perished in the graves of years gone by, let this promise still be cherished. I will guide thee with mine eye. When the shades of life are falling and the hour has come to die, hear the trusted pilot calling, I will guide thee with my eye. What a beautiful song about the all-seeing, guiding eye of God. And you know, the Bible tells us death is an enemy. But praise be to God, Jesus was the victor of death. And we need not fear it as long as we're led by the guiding eye. Hear the trusted pilot calling, as we face death, I will guide thee with mine eye. I will guide thee, I will guide thee, I will guide thee with mine eye. On the way from earth to heaven, I will guide thee with mine eye. This morning, are you convinced that you're on the way from earth to heaven? Lamentations 3:22. It says this: "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." Doesn't sound like a lamentation, does it? But it sounds like hope. And that was a lamentation of Jeremiah. But praise God for that hope which we can have yet today. Then in Lamentations 3, verse 40 and 41, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens." I'm not quite sure how you do that. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in heaven. God gives us these hands to serve Him. And He gave us new hearts if we know Him. And so may we use these hands to serve Him, thereby lifting up our heart, that clean heart, that new heart within us that God has given us, that He might be honored, that He might be glorified. This morning, He called His 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, "Occupy till I come." Shall we kneel before the Lord in prayer? Our eternal Father in heaven, we come before You this morning with praise and with gratitude in our hearts. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are the noble servant. You are more than that. You are our Savior, our Lord, our Master. And You have provided salvation and redemption for us. And that You are in heaven interceding for us. Thank You, Lord Jesus. And we praise You for that. Then we thank You, Father, for that pound which was given to us. Father, help us through the power of Your Holy Spirit to live that life and to occupy in those things that You've called us to. In faithfulness, knowing that You are faithful. You are a faithful God. You are a loving God. And You are faithful in meeting our needs and empowering and enabling us. Father, just bless us this morning in such a way that You can be glorified. Help us to receive these truths into our hearts and to abide therein for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.